This is the Visual Developers Podcast with your hosts, Lacey Kessler, Matt Varghese, and Ben Parker. Interviews, no-code reviews, tutorials, and more, we're here to talk about all things no-code.
Hey, everybody. Ben here with Visual Dev FM, back for another episode. And I'm joined, as always, by my co-hosts, Lacey and Matt.
Lacey, just go for
just
it.
Just say hello.
No. No. The fact that you're over there grinning, okay?
She was going to copy
the
your
slight
hey-o.
Smile. Exactly.
It was coming.
She just copies everything that I say. That woman is obsessed with me. Have you guys seen Tiger King?
Let's not bring it back around. And we're joined today by Jake, who we've mentioned here on the podcast several times. And he's going to be here to talk ClickUp. And since he's here to talk ClickUp, we figured we'd just have him around for the whole episode. So he's here for the roundup, too. So,
hey, everybody.
Welcome, Jake. All right. Lacey, your camera has, I don't know, like...
I know, and I'm like waving.
We're better off.
It's gone blurry.
I'm totally blurry now.
You know those, there I am. You know those specials where, like, somebody's trying to protect their identity, so their face is all blurry, and then they change their voice? That's what it looked like for a second. I was waiting for the voice changer next. Wonderful. Well... in this episode, we're going to talk about ClickUp, the case for ClickUp. We have two ClickUp apologists here, and I'm being forced, and I would like to say this against my will, to talk about ClickUp.
No. Let's make it very clear for any new listeners, for anyone that doesn't follow Ben on Twitter, you sealed your own fate when you tweeted the poll into existence and you asked the public if they would listen to a ClickUp episode, and 75% said yes. So that's on you. I didn't ask you to tweet that. You did
How
that
many
to yourself.
People voted though.
Yeah, to be
was
fair,
it like
you were
you and your mom. I mean,
Matt texted his whole family. Yeah. Hey, y'all, go vote in this Twitter poll. No, so we're gonna talk about ClickUp. We'll get there, but before we do, as always, we're gonna talk about everything that's new in no code with our no code roundup. So let's jump in. Webflow, they haven't really tweeted about this, but I knew that both of you would bring it up. So Kyle, who is on the Webflow team, tweeted about an addition to Webflow, which is it's an improvement on the pages panel that allows you to collapse page sections. So static pages, CMS pages, e-commerce pages, utility pages. This is a pretty neat little addition. Nice quality of life update. I really liked it. Link in the show notes if you want to check that out. Refocus also built a tool for Webflow rich text called Rich Text Enhancer. And I think FinSuite has a similar tool to this, but I love this approach. Essentially, it gives you a way to write in the rich text editor in Webflow CMS. You can surround your text with these brackets, and then it will add classes on, so you can custom styles, highlights, all these different things in a rich text editor without having to, you know, have a bunch of custom code. It's a really cool feature, and I'm pretty excited about this. Although I didn't, someone shared it in our Visual Dev FM Slack. Let's say it was Mason, and I haven't seen anybody really talking about this. This is really cool. So I wish, I don't know, if you haven't seen it, check it out. Link in the show notes to go give it a spin. I want to shout out to Colleen Brady, too, for sharing Notably. Notably is a really cool tool. It's meant for product research. So essentially, it's like sticky notes, and you can organize those by category. And so, you know, if you want to talk about pain points or, you know, feature requests or all these different pieces, and you kind of – it organizes it in what looks like sticky notes. But then it also has this really great table view to see everything. For those of you who are building no-code software and you're trying to kind of keep all of your user data in one place, do a little research, this looks like a great tool. So if you haven't seen it, link in the show notes to go check that out. Airtable now has advanced filters. I sort of I messed this up last week. We probably should have had this in last week's roundup. It's one I missed. But essentially, they've had filters before. Now they have this breakout window, this box that expands a little bit and allows you to get really in-depth with your filters on an Airtable. And then it puts them in blocks where you can say where this is happening or and you have these conditions, and then you can reorder those blocks, drag them around. It's just really powerful, and if you're an Airtable user, you've probably already discovered this. But if not, if you haven't been there in a few minutes, definitely worth checking out. Super.so, I want to hear everybody's thoughts on this. We talked about this in the podcast before. It's a tool that allows you, they're a company that's built these Notion templates that kind of lets you build websites in Notion and then connect a custom domain. They have gone a step further to build a tool that allows you to build landing pages in Notion with pre-built components and themes. This is wild. Have y'all taken a look at this? Because this is it's pretty impressive.
I have not, but I'm pretty sure that this is a milestone moment for you, Ben, as a Notion. Wait, actually, yeah, you are the Notion hater. You don't like Notion. So for you to actually to highlight a tool that you hate in a positive light, you're on the road to recovery.
Wow, is this foreshadowing for our ClickUp talk?
I feel like
I think so.
What like what's going on? You're attacking me for no reason. Like all I did was say like this is a pretty cool
no
tool.
No, you did it. No, anytime we bring up a tool like Coda, anytime we bring up project management, you'll just jab ClickUp. Anyways, we'll get to that.
ClickUp's bad.
Okay.
But
super.
But
okay. But, okay. All right.
But no. What I was going to say is like Notion. I think I've talked about this before. I was a big Notion fan at the start. I think where I kind of gave up on Notion was when they didn't have those features like Coda had with the packs, the API. It kind of I don't know, felt like it stopped like at this edge, and Coda offered more features. I dove into the Coda world and I love that app. But Notion's really clean. And the sites that they and the components they've built for this, like if you haven't looked at them
yet, these are fine.
They're incredible. So if you are wanting an easy way to build a landing page, a website, this is a great route to go. So definitely worth checking out. Link in the show notes if you want to give it a look. So also that was shared in this week was the site, the Living Dead site. It was built in Webflow. And this is livingdead.co. This is really cool. Halloween's coming up. It is a site built in Webflow that ranks all 12 Halloween films, which is it's really great. The style is amazing. It's been built really well. And I want to say I heard John, who built this from Edgar Allan, he's been working on this since March, so a lot of work went into it, you can tell. But lots of great things, music to listen to, all this stuff. Really great-looking site if you want to check it out. Link in the show notes. He also built a site called My Topaz Apartment, which is really cool. It's got great things that you might want to buy and put in your own place. He built another site, too, about snakes of Georgia. I'm not linking it here because I have a fear of snakes and a phobia, so like we're not even going to go there. But also, there's a link here in the notes to John's Twitter profile. So if you want to go check that out, give him a follow. He builds great stuff. Definitely worth taking a look at. Industrial Mark on Twitter, at Industrial Mark, tweeted that he's built a tool in Airtable that allows you to track your cryptocurrency portfolio and get live prices. So if you're big into crypto and you're wanting to kind of just be able to compare, see live prices, he is selling this on Gumroad. So definitely go check it out and give it a look. This is really cool. I love when people build products that you can grab and they do it with no code. And this is just a really clean, simple approach. I really like this. So fresh on the heels of their new launch, I should have talked about this with all of you and like made sure that you watched this video before we recorded. Bravo Studio has a new ad out. So they had their event, Bravo Studio 3.0 launched, lots of cool stuff happening with the product. The ad is pretty funny. It's pretty neat. It's fun to see companies continue to grow and kind of put things like this together. I remember like seeing some of my first Webflow ads and how much I loved those. And so, I don't know, it's cool to see this. Props to their team for putting that together because it's really well done. So Xano, which we've and might be pronouncing this product's name wrong, so feel free to interrupt me and tell me that, you know, this is another booty-based situation. If it is, but Xano, which we've mentioned here on the podcast before, they've been around, and I guess they've kind of been more in beta, what have you. And they finally launched on Product Hunt, and what it allows you to do, if I'm gathering everything around, is essentially they provide a lot of back end services that we've typically used Zapier or other tools for to stitch things together. But if you're holding a lot of items, instead of trying to sync all of these things together using, you know, different tools, they essentially provide that backbone database for you to keep your data in, and then they distribute that everywhere else. It's a really cool concept. This is a really great tool. Link in the show notes if you want to go check out their Product Hunt page. But really excited about this and excited to learn more myself. It's something I've not really used. I've watched some videos on it and just poked around with it, but it seems like a really powerful tool, and I'm pretty excited for their team to see them launch. It's always such a big deal, so pretty neat. Congrats to them, props, and link in the show notes if you want to try it out.
I gotta say, my favorite mispronounced app on here was Appy Giver.
And here we go. Oh, the man. Hate starts all over again.
Ben will never live that one down. That is the one thing that Lacey and I cannot boast Ben about.
68 episodes. I talk so much in all of them. I make one mistake. Roasted for life.
Oh, but it's one critical mistake.
It's so good.
So, you were so confident with it, too. But Lacey couldn't let that slide. So,
to be fair, I was 2 beers in. Oh, can I say that? Like, I don't know if I should say that. Anyway.
Lacey's normally like 5 in, so it'll be fine.
If you... I want it.
Yeah, threaten me, Lacey. Please, do it again.
I'm having a LaCroix and some macaroni and cheese right now. Thank you.
Yeah,
dinner of champions. I love it. So Xano, props to their team. Super cool. Definitely check it out. Hello Guru, which is its own, like they have their own app, no code builder. They launched on Product Hunt to like a lot of fanfare. It was like number 5 the product of the day. It's called the Hub, and it's a place to learn about no code. And so they have courses, and in fact there's some of these, I don't know, they have Bubble already, obviously, Lacey, they have Adalo, Glide, Zapier, Webflow, and essentially you can sign up, learn about these apps. But I think, I don't know how to feel about this. One, it's cool that people are teaching, but two, this also feels like a way for them to market their own tool, because I think that's what they're doing with this page and trying to get you to sign up to take the courses. So anyway, don't look a gift horse in the mouth. This is free no-code courses. If you're looking to pick some stuff up, definitely worth checking out. Flutterflow launched version 2.0 of its app. So Flutterflow, Flutter is this design system and tooling to help you build apps quickly. It's from Google. Flutterflow is essentially built on top of that. So it's this visual mobile app builder. And they've been out for a little while, but they launched version 2.0 with a lot of new features and really great stuff. So if you're looking to build a mobile app, this is something worth looking at. Definitely go check out some of the new stuff from the Flutterflow team and give it a go. Matt, do you, at 8020, do you all use Figma organizations, or do you just have individual accounts?
That's a Jake question, but I'm almost positive to use organizations.
I don't think we have the organization level, but I did see this tweet and it looks pretty cool.
Yeah, Figma released.
Is there a difference between organizations and teams?
Yeah, I will say, as much as I love Figma, the way that they structured the pricing is just so freaking confusing. But yeah, This looks pretty awesome. I don't mean to steal your thunder, Ben, but
no,
it's like in. GitHub. It seems like GitHub for Figma.
Yeah, I mean that's the whole point. Essentially, it's like it's development for visual style systems. So essentially, now you can create branches. So let's say you have a style system, and your team is using it, and you have buttons, button system that you created, and it's time to change those, or you have some proposed changes to make it better. Instead of going in and making a copy of that document and playing with it and then trying to get people to review it, whatever, you can basically branch it. It makes a copy of that. And you can make changes, have them reviewed, and then merge them back into the main document. So once everybody's like commented, approved it, boom, it pushes the changes back in just like developers do with code. This is really neat. And I was super excited to see this. I'm not a part of any, well, I guess I'm a part of the Webflow org, but they're not going to let me mess with any of the design systems for a good reason. And so it's good that I'm not anywhere near those. So I'll be super pumped to get a chance to try this out soon, but definitely worth taking a look.
What's interesting is this is kind of like Abstract. Have you seen that? Abstract.com?
Yep.
It's essentially version control, but for Figma and I think Sketch files. And I wonder how this is going to play with in that marketplace. Like if this is going to be, take over essentially the market that company has in the, cause that is a whole value prop of Abstract. So, maybe as this iterates, maybe Figma buys Abstract or something like that. Abstract is huge,
though. Yeah,
and it's similar to what you guys were talking about last episode with, you know, the Webflow version control thing. You know, it's I hope more companies build this into their product because, you know, it's so valuable.
I won't get into it. But yes, I completely agree.
Wait. Say more?
Oh, no.
What aren't you getting into, sir?
Well, they're like one of the things.
What aren't you telling the general public?
One of the things that I hear a lot is like there's no version control in Webflow. And I'm like, well, there is. You're just not using it properly. It's called backups.
Like backups?
You can save them manually. They're terrific. Use them. Now, it doesn't give you the kind of control that you might be looking for, like very granular. It doesn't give you diffs, right? Like you're not seeing.
Yeah.
Right.
But anyway, but I am excited about this. Like I'm looking forward to finding myself in an org at some point so that I can try this because I think it's awesome. I'm really pumped to see this or to see them, you know, release this to more self-serve users. Maybe they'll do that at some point. But really great feature. If your team is using orgs and Figma, definitely worth checking out. So while we're on the subject of Figma, there is a tool here. I think it's maker.so. Link in the show notes to a tweet about this. But this is a tool. It's a Figma plugin that allows you to take a design in Figma and then build and publish websites directly from that, which is really impressive. I think this is what a lot, I mean, so think Bravo Studio, but for websites, right? Like you can build here straight to publish. Looks really cool, and you can sign up to get early access to test it out. So if you're a Figma user and you're a designer and you don't really have, like, you know, Webflow feels like a big learning curve, or you know, some of these other apps have been hard for you to really dive into, this might be a great option. I'm curious, I want to see some live sites. There are none linked. I really want to see what the code is like. Like, is it spaghetti code when it comes out, or is it pretty clean? I'm always curious about, you know, things like that when I see these tools. But definitely worth checking out, worth taking a look at. And speaking of Notion, we were just talking about Notion just a little bit ago. They raised $275 million at a $10 billion with a B valuation. Oh, my gosh. I can't, like, that amount of money is hard for me to even wrap my head around. I mean, I would just be excited to have $10, let alone $10 billion or a $10 billion valuation. This is super cool for their team. I'm pretty pumped for them. Obviously, they've really made some strides with the addition of the API and, you know, also some of their recent acquisitions. So this is really cool and definitely happy for their team.
Yeah, I think with Notion, for me, it's like if they really want to be, you know, become something that stays, it's going to be with their API.
Yeah, that and performance. You know, like once you get into a Notion space and it gets so big, that's always been sort of a thing for me. But anyway, Notion, super happy for their team. Definitely worth checking out. Link in the show notes if you want to read that article. Funnel. Funnel is a no-code. It's like no-code for marketing data. It's data warehousing, essentially. And they raised $66 million. Have anybody here tried this tool? Essentially what it does is it has all of these marketing tools, and it pulls data from all of them into one place that allows you to have all of that centrally so you can compare between analytics, leads, all these different things, and kind of see how your site or your app is converting, how that's working. And this looks really powerful. I'm not a marketer, so I don't know. Like, this is sort of lost on me, like, as far as the power of it. But I do know trying to get all that data to one place is a fight, especially if you're trying to really understand your data, what's happening to your users, how impactful your campaigns are. So this is definitely a really cool tool. And if you are a marketer and you're building a tool, definitely check this out.
Yeah, marketing was my entry into no-code. My previous job was a marketing position, and that was kind of that's actually when Matt showed me Webflow, and I got fully into that space, and then, you know, really into Zapier, and then really into Integromat. And yeah, it's because of all those disparate data sources, it's just a mess, and it's like every marketer's bane. So
can't imagine. Yeah. So wait, I want to get this right. I sell Matt on Webflow. Matt sells you on Webflow. Yes. You sell each other on ClickUp. Yes,
Ben, you're just trying to destroy
my life.
You think of it this way. You brought ClickUp to us in some weird roundabout way. That makes sense.
Don't you put that evil on me, Ricky Bobby. That's awful.
Ben, I want to like the things that you like, and I do for most things. I'm not... You know, you've kind of convinced me with the type form, jot form thing, but I don't hate it as much as you. but yeah, I think we'll tend to disagree with the ClickUp thing, but I'm keeping an open mind with Coda, I'll say.
Can we address one thing? Can Ben ever change your mind about drinking beer with ice cubes in it? The last what episode is this? 68 or something? Yeah, the last 67 episodes have been pick on Matt episode. I finally have someone else that I can rely on to get me out of this.
So as the outside person looking in, I wanted to say I always wonder like what people think like when they first listen to the podcast and they're like, is Matt just some like total jerk with Lacey? And when I like what I just pictured the other day was like they're all in a station wagon, and Ben is the driver. He's the dad, like trying to, you know, keep things in line. Like, hey guys, we're gonna talk about the podcast today. And then Ben and Lacey, or Matt and Lacey, are the siblings in the back seat. You know, constantly.
And I'm the one threatening to turn the car around.
Yeah, I'm gonna turn the car around.
I will turn this car around. That is exactly how it goes,
Lacey. Lacey's literally eating mac and cheese like a toddler. So
somehow Matt's coming to me off the top ropes for nothing today. Like, I don't know.
Seriously, some of us are on a budget. We're not all
out of here, Lacey.
Also, I really like mac and cheese. Mm. So
Not all of us can do 75 hard every day.
Yeah. So
stop.
And if you listen to this podcast and you do think that Matt is a jerk face, you're absolutely right. So
okay.
He is.
All right. I believe that
young guy should not listen to Matt.
Lacey insulted me on Slack private message during this podcast recording, but she'll get mad at me if I say what it was. But it was very, very rude. So I just want that on the record.
It's on the record. So noted.
Cool.
Cool. So noted. So is anyone using Heyflow? Heyflow is like... it's really like a click flow builder. So if you have a landing page and you want people to interact with it, like where they say like, hey, this is my name and I do this and this is whatever, you're capturing leads. This is a tool that helps you build that. I'm not a fan of these things. I would never interact with them, but they probably convert. I don't know. But someone did share this with me and it looks like a really, really neat tool. So definitely worth checking out. Link in the show notes. So this is something I want to spend a minute or two on. And in fact, we're going to have somebody, a bubble expert, come on to the podcast to talk about this. But we had a recent episode about bubble. And one of the things that we talked about here was like, hey, we like powerful, but the whole front end builder thing, not really that a great experience. And we had quite a few of you reach out and say like, hey, hold on. There's a new editor that's on its way. And it's going to really change things. People talked really highly of it, compared it to Webflow, which, you know, gets you pretty excited. And now, like in this post, Bubble posted in the community, link in the show notes, you want to go read this in their forum, where they talk about how this new editor is not really coming now. Like they've been working on it for a couple of years. They put a lot of resources there. And they've just decided, like, they're still trying to upkeep. First of all, this is not shots at Bubble. I empathize because it's hard to keep a product going and completely rebuild it at the same time. So they've been trying to keep Bubble running and then also build a new Bubble editor and launch it. And I think they've realized that it's very difficult to do that. So they're kind of pulling the plug on that piece. And it's not that they're throwing that away. They're going to try to take what they've built and work it into the current editor. So the editor is going to look the same. And you're probably going to get that functionality, but it's going to be piecemealed over time. Instead of getting it all at once, you're going to get it like, you know, bit by bit. Which, as someone who was looking forward to seeing what that was like, I'm pretty disappointed, but I can understand. Anybody in the room, thoughts on this? Because this shocked me. This was not what I was expecting to read this week.
I was reading the comments on it, and honestly, I have a lot of respect for how they, like, came about this. It's a very community-minded update, and it was very detailed. It explains why they were doing what they're doing, and like for the most part, a lot of these comments are pretty understanding, which is a good sign of a community. The fact that people aren't like ClickUp made an update recently, and it pissed Jake and like 1,000 other people off, like literally, and like people are coming at the CEO's throat at the moment, including Jake. And so I think they have made this announcement in a way that like has a community in mind versus ClickUp does not, with their latest update. So, bravo to them.
Yeah. I appreciated this post. I thought it was really well done. I thought they did a good job with it, but it's kind of disappointing to hear the news. So,
yeah, prior to that marketing job that I was talking about, I was a product manager. And so I can definitely relate to the struggle of like, trying to prioritize new features, but also taking care of, you know, technical debt and, you know, really trying to get everything into the new code. And, you know, it's a mess. And so I've got mad respect for all product managers out there trying to, you know, keep things going. But yeah, that's definitely a bummer. I mean, that would have been something that could have brought me over to, you know, really giving Bubble more of a try. But yeah.
Looks like we're going to be waiting a lot longer.
I'm sure that was a super hard choice to make. I was looking at the comments below, like Matt mentioned earlier, And there's this one that's like, the current editor feels like a relic from the 90s. It doesn't have any sex appeal, to put it that way. And I just...
Not even cool retro.
Is that a review of the bubble editor or Matt? Latest... Like...
Yeah.
Wow.
Shots fired.
That's that was that was the best shot at me since... episode one. Bravo. I have to give that one to you, man.
That's for joking.
Oh, yeah.
I know. I nearly choked on my macaroni and cheese. That was the best thing I've ever heard.
Oh, man. That was good. I'm going to have to get you back for that one of these days. I know. In some way,
be walking on eggshells. Anyway, so Bubble folks, we want to hear from you. How do you feel about this? We're going to have some Bubble folks on the podcast to come talk about it as well. So so link
just
in the show notes.
Matt at 8020.inc.
Please do not email me. Please. I promise you, I don't want more emails. Ask Jake. I nuked my entire calendar this week because I'm so behind on emails. This is the first time I'm seeing Jake this week. Yeah. So, like, I am trying to get on top of it. Please do not email me.
That's Matt at 8020.inc. All right.
.com.
Bonsai browser. I don't know if anybody's seen this, but this looks interesting. This is apparently built for programmers, I don't know, developers, but essentially it allows you to organize your tabs sort of visually, like post-it notes, and like put them in groups, do some different things. But it's kind of what really makes it great is you can keep a window open floating over other apps. So if you like with a hotkey, so like let's say the example they use, somebody's writing JavaScript, they're looking at Stack Overflow, and instead of flipping back and forth, they bring it up, have it float over their editor, and then they type out, you know, they're copying the code. It's pretty neat. And as somebody who builds a no code, there are times when you're looking at resources or things, you're like, how did they do that? And so kind of be able to have that there is pretty cool. I'm going to give this a go. I don't know if anybody else is interested, but this really grabbed my attention. So link in the show notes if you want to check it out.
I just did air quotes when you said writing JavaScript because I was like, you mean copying from Stack Overflow?
It's true. What do developers do? Developers Google how to do the what are developers, engineers? They're better at Googling than you are.
Googling, exactly.
That is exactly what they are, but they're incredible too.
Yep.
Parabola adds an undo feature. So undo redo added to Parabola. This is something I've wanted for a while. I can't tell you how many times I've done things. I'm like, ugh, that was not what I needed to do. And then you have to go back and change some settings. Remember what you changed. This is really cool. Super happy to see this from the Parabola team. Very pumped about this.
Integra Matt, if you're listening to this podcast, because I know you are, we could use an undo button as well. Matt, tweet that. Come on.
Integra Matt, can you please pull values and just store them so we don't have to run the flow 70 times? Don't get me started. I'm going to start ranting. Glide.
Ben has beef with
we need to do an Integramat episode.
Oh, Integramat.
We've done like one Integramat. In the past.
I like Integramat. Yeah. That's one of my...
Ben doesn't like anything except Webflow, Bravo Studio, and Coda. Those are the three tools. Everything else to him can go to hell.
I almost made a joke, but I'm gonna keep it for one. I was about to roast you again, but I'm gonna save that. Glide is working on an Airtable integration. They tweeted at the Airtable team that they were looking for access. So, you know, you've been using Google Sheets. They have their own data tool that you can use now, but also working on an Airtable integration, which is really cool. So Glide just keeps getting better. Link in the show notes if you want to go check out that tweet and learn more about what they're trying to do. And that's our no-code roundup.
That's one way to do it. Just tweet at them.
I really That's wanted great. To roast Matt. I can't. Can I just say how much
Please
I wanted to
stop, dude?
Okay,
look, you've
calmed down the thunder. I just was trying to host a podcast, and here you are jumping on me. You calmed down the thunder.
Oh man,
mess with
I'm
the bull, get the horns, right?
Crying. Like, I'm crying from the '90s relic statement. Oh man, that was savage.
All right, so let's get into today's topic, which is ClickUp tier. So we're gonna start this by just have Matt and Jake walk through a few things here. You know, why they love ClickUp, the flexibility that it offers, and some of those features, and then also talking about why did you all choose ClickUp over other tools that were available. So why do you love it? Walk us through it.
Yeah. I'll start with...
Can we also...
I'm speaking, as you say to me.
I hate to interrupt, but will you tell the people listening, in case they're not into these tools, productivity, like all of these things, what they are, what they do?
Sure. For sure.
Yeah.
So just for context, a year ago, like in terms of digital structure, 80/20 is a completely different company than it is today. A year ago, I just took over 80/20, and Max Lind, who was a previous 80/20 CEO, is one of the biggest Notion lovers you'll ever meet in your life. He loves that app so much, and 80/20 ran entirely on it. The problem with Notion is that what Max was trying to do with that tool was make it a project management tool. And like, yeah, Notion has, you know, tables and databases, and we can track, you know, projects and like the revenue and the cost and things like that. But like at the time, and even now, I mean, it's progressed, but at the time, it was really, really lacking in terms of an API, in terms of the ability to do any automations. So there was so much manual work, and it just wasn't a good fit for running a company. The permissions weren't like great. We were really just hacking Notion into being a project management tool. And then long story short, I poached Jake, and Jake did insane work getting us over to ClickUp. And he was up all the time just trying to migrate data over because there was so much data in Notion. But like the API was so, so early. So, but I'll let Jake speak to why ClickUp and what ClickUp is and like how 80/20 uses it. I guess, Jake, start with what ClickUp is, like for people that don't know.
Yeah. I mean, I think the distinction between, you know, like, more of a documentation tool compared to a project management tool that has the flexibility to, you know, to work in whatever kind of workflow that you have. And I think that's one of the things that really drew me to it is you can get in for, you know, a very reasonable price and have it do the kinds of things that you need. And also, you can have multiple teams that work completely differently from each other, be able to kind of have their own spaces to do things the way they want to do it. And so if you want to work in sprints, go for it. You know, if you want to work in a Kanban view, go for it. But the data is all there and it can be viewed in a bunch of different ways. And you don't have to pay the full, you know, larger price that you'd have to pay for like Asana or something like that to get all the features that you're trying to get to do the kinds of things that you need. So I don't know if I answered the question, but
no, for sure. And for people listening, those are ones I looked at when we were talking about this. Cause like the one thing I wanted to make sure of is if we transition over to ClickUp, we do it right. And like we choose a tool and we stick with it. Cause the last thing I want is we go 3 months into ClickUp and we migrate all this data over there. And it's like, oh, wait, what about Monday.com? What about Basecamp? What about Asana? What about Toronto? So I feel like we did quite a bit of research. But yeah, I feel like ClickUp was a move from the project management perspective. So I guess talk about why you love it so much, because you are literally the biggest ClickUp fan I've ever met.
I've tried to tone it down a little.
you love ClickUp more than any. Like it, when we're even building like a it's like a soon TM thing. It is a ClickUp course for 80/20 employees, because to Ben's credit, it is is pretty complex, especially with our setup. And we have so many spaces, and we have docs, and we have automations. We have a library documenting the automations. So talk about why you're such a fan of it.
Yeah. I mean, it does. It comes down to the flexibility to work the way that you want to work. I think if I might respond differently if it was coming from IT and they're like dictating how I have to use it. I can't speak to that perspective. But when I started using it 2 years ago, I had to kind of look through the giant list of productivity apps and try to choose something for our small marketing team. And so I went through the whole list, and I've used Trello, Asana, Notion, Jira, Azure DevTools, things, Basecamp, and then I was looking at Monday. I liked, it looked kind of, more simple, but still kind of flexible. And actually ClickUp was the last one on my list. And the only reason I looked at it was so I could check the box to say that I had looked at it. But I was just kind of blown away at just how much it offered in features for a very reasonable price. And true, if you do, really become a power user, you can definitely upgrade to the higher plans. Like Matt alluded to with one of the reasons I got pissed off.
Yeah, 80/20 is definitely on one of those higher plans.
Yeah.
And 80/20 pays, it's definitely in the thousands per year for 80/20, but it's worth it. Because and Jake, chime in here, the things we do with ClickUp, we've automated master service agreement creation, SOW creation, consulting agreement creation, invoices, there's still some hewing component, but there's the ability to trigger, Jake has set it up to where you can toggle a drop down and say, hey, create a consultant MCA or something like that. And an Integromat scenario will run and report back to that ClickUp scenario, and it'll populate it with a new contract. And so there's all this stuff, it'll put it in the right place. And there was a lot of work that went into that. These aren't native ClickUp features, but the automation thing is really, really big for us. There's so many aspects of 80/20 that are now automated. And it is intimidating for new employees to learn, but once you get it, you get it. You become more of a power user. But I think that, for me, that's the biggest draw. And you'll probably talk about this in your rebuttal, Ben, but Coda does have buttons and you can trigger automations, things like that. But there is something super nice about having everything you need in one system. The system needs improvement. I will not deny that. And in response to your, I feel like it's important to note a response to one of your tweets, if I can find it. It was essentially from Mason Poe, who runs Edgar Allan. And Mason switched from Rike to ClickUp after hearing about it from, I think, Jake. And they had calls and things like that to talk about it. And Mason responded to your tweet and said, look, ClickUp may not be the best, but it's the best out of everything that's available right now, considering the features and how flexible it is. So, yes, I agree with your point. It needs work. It needs love. I definitely need to take a note or two on how to handle community updates from Bubble. But I think the power that it offers us as an agency to just completely run our business efficiently is so great.
Yeah, and I think part of that is, getting the views into your data that you need. Do you need a dashboard to kind of show how are the sales going for the month and for the quarter? And, just to be able to get all of those different types of views and keep it all in one spot. I love Airtable. I love, I would love to have Coda be our way of documenting things, because it is. It's awesome for documentation. And so it's what are some ways that it could be more integrated? But the fact that you have it all right there is something that, even though it is difficult to be, to build the everything kind of thing that does everything for everybody, like, it can come at the cost of watering things down. And so I'll definitely, you know, give you that. But the fact that you don't have to go and purchase all these other platforms, especially when you start adding people to your team, you know, it adds up.
our finance team came to me and was like, hey, your subscription cost is getting really high. And it's like, yeah, I hired people. And it's nice to not have to add a Notion license, there is a Loom integration, but you can also record videos, I think, with ClickUp, just natively and attach it to a task. You can upload files, things like that. So, I'm looking at our Gantt chart right now of all active projects that, like, sales and PM review once a week to figure out where projects are at. And so everything is in one place. And I don't think this is, like, for clarity for anyone listening, this is not agency specific. There's tons of organizations that use this. They've really gotten better at market adoption. Go to any airport right now and you'll see ClickUp ads probably everywhere, plastered all over the wall. They're really growing, and like it's Webflow uses ClickUp, right? In some way, shape, or form.
Yeah, we use ClickUp.
So, that was, like, very restrained.
That was a very, yeah, he was like, do I want to admit this, that we use this garbage software on air? I saw people from Webflow commenting on that thread. And you had people from Webflow on completely opposite sides. One said they hate it, one said they like it. So it is, nothing will ever make everyone happy. But ClickUp gets pretty close, in my opinion. So
yeah, and you know, except for the past few weeks where they've really been focusing on infrastructure, they were like iterating weekly and releasing new features, and like to the point where I'm like, I've set a reminder to like go and see what new things they came up with, because it feels like Christmas morning for nerds like me. But it's kind of insane, like how fast they move. And they've been putting a ton of money into building their teams. And I'm actually gotten to, you know, take part in UX, little testing stuff and really like talk through, like, here's what I'm seeing, you know, in this Figma prototype, and like they're testing stuff out, which I think is great. Cause it's definitely not perfect. And I think like there's definitely, I've got a list of my the things that need to be fixed. Like the custom fields editor manager is trash, and they know it, and they're working on it. And you know, it's just a matter of, can you wait for some of those things? Like, is it a deal breaker? And so I don't know. I think in the previous team that I was on, we started and we were just using it in the most basic way, but then at one point I was like, hey, would you guys be willing to, you know, try out sprints? And it completely changed how our team functioned for the better. But the fact that it was so easy to set up and, you know, try stuff out and iterate on it, there's still plenty of things that I think need to be improved specifically with sprints, but the fact that we could do it and the rest of the company didn't use sprints, and that was fine, and they just did it the way they wanted to. And so yeah, I think there's flexibility, and maybe it's flexibility to a fault at times.
Yeah, maybe it's like the Android of like the project management tools. You can customize everything, but like sometimes that isn't the best.
Yeah,
like you don't want to go overboard, and it's a big reason why I see people adopt ClickUp and then go, oh, this sucks, this is too overwhelming, they didn't put anything in it yet. But there's so many things to take into account. It's like, well, what about spaces, what about workspaces, what about lists, what about folders? It's like people just want to create a to-do list, and like sometimes ClickUp may be overkill for that. But I think it's got a UX problem that it needs to solve for new users. We even had our latest employee Dan, at first he was like, Yeah, I'm not a fan of ClickUp. And then he got on a call with Jake, and I had a one-on-one with Dan this week, and he was like, oh, man, I totally see the vision of ClickUp. But it required like a training session between him, Sebastian, our project manager, and Jake. So it's definitely got a UX problem it has to solve for, but I do think it's the best in the space.
I think...
Then, yeah, okay, go
a couple
for
more things. I'm talking about cons here. I think onboarding with the notifications is complete
it's
trash.
Really overwhelming.
Like, because you really have to fine tune your notifications and figure out what works best for you. And part of it, you know, I've gotten to the point where I just check the notifications area and like I left on the notifications for like at mentions. But the rest of it, I pretty much turn off. And then I just kind of gotten used to going to the little notifications and treating it a little bit like an inbox. But, you know, what I've been trying to, you know, talk to our team about is basically kind of using the commenting in ClickUp as a way to do things kind of more asynchronously. Because when you comment on that task, you've got all the context you need. You've got all the attachments. You've got all the information, all the custom fields and all that stuff. And so a lot of that stuff can just happen right there as opposed to going to Slack, sharing a link or finding the right channel to go to and sharing the link. And then it's like in their face. It's like, you know, hey, let me distract you from that thing that you're trying to do. Whereas this can be kind of like, a less in your face and then save the Slack messages for, when you need their attention right away.
The last con I will, or the only con. No, I'll say the last con I'll say before I hand it over to Ben is just like I said, Notion is not a project management tool. ClickUp is not a docs tool. It has docs, but man, it needs so much work. We literally just paid for an upgrade to a Business Plus plan that didn't even exist until like 2 weeks ago. And it was like, hey, advanced docs coming soon. I bought that plan. I mean, Jake, like the whole update thing was related to that. But also I was like, yeah, of course, if there's advanced docs, I want in. I bought it. And then I asked ClickUp's team about it. And no one on their team, I got passed over through like six people because no one knew that feature existed or it was coming. And so docs are not a strong suit of ClickUp right now. Like you come from a Coda, you come from a Notion. It's light years better in those tools.
Yeah.
Those tools make beautiful docs, but ClickUp docs, no, it's not great. We use them because you can reference tasks, you can reference people, but it needs so much love.
It's kind of, the docs are kind of like a poorly copied version of Noda or Notion or Coda.
Noda.
Put them together. I don't know.
Yeah.
Like my problems with ClickUp have always been one from a performance piece. It takes forever. Like if I find myself in a hurry and I'm waiting a minute for a task to load, you lost me. I'm just going to update somewhere else. Like I forget the task. I'm not going to waste my time trying to wait for it to load. The speeds are pretty bad. And I would say, too, like for one of the things you mentioned, I get really upset with data loss. Like that's one thing that, like for me personally, I just will not tolerate in a tool. So if you burn me once, you know, okay, burn me twice. That's on my stupid self for giving you a second chance. And, you know, I can't tell you how many docs when we first started using it just completely disappeared, like whole chunks of data gone.
I think it was for this podcast when we were doing our cycle of Notion to Coda to ClickUp.
We lost a whole set of episodes. Yeah, we lost a whole episode of No Code Roundup, like a whole set. Like I do. If you look at our show notes, I do a ton of research every week. Like I have,
yeah,
link after link after link after link after link after link. And if I store it there and then you get rid of them for me, like we're gonna we're gonna have problems. And I had this happen at work too. I had a couple docs disappear to the point where people were like, "We're gonna make a ClickUp doc." I was like, "I will not." I was like, "I tell you what, I will do. I will write it in Coda, and then I will copy and paste it into a ClickUp doc if that's where you want to look at it." But like, I will not put anything in there.
Ben said, "I'm gonna write it down on a piece of pen or a piece of paper, and I'll scan it and I'll put it to the cloud.
I'll fax it to you.
I'll take a picture with my phone and put it in." Like, I am not. I like it lost all trust for me there.
That's so crazy.
Oh, go ahead.
I mean, I've been using, well, I didn't mean to interrupt, but I've been using it, you know, for almost 3 years now and have never had that happen. So that sucks.
Yeah, I've had it happen in multiple spaces. That's one of my biggest pain points with it is just that things disappear. Even tasks, like we've had tasks where it's like, here's a link to the task. This task no longer exists. Who deleted it? We don't know. Where did it go? We don't know. What all was in it? No clue. Okay, well, how do we get all that back? Like, that is a hard place to be in. And once again, I hate on things here. Like, right, like, I will say, like, I'm not the biggest Notion fan. It's because I love Coda, right? It's not that I hate Notion or whatever. I really genuinely do not like ClickUp. Like, just can be as clear with you. I understand the use case for it. I understand, like, for an agency like yours, there are automations that run. But like for me, even when I integrate with a third-party tool, I found that their triggers and their flows half the time do not work. Like I have something that's supposed to happen when this piece rolls in and does nothing. Like it doesn't do it. And then you're like, why did that not do it? Is there a way to trigger that over again? No, there is not. Okay, so I got to go take an action in another app again to like try to make this thing happen. And like, once again, from that standpoint, like you lost me. If I'm having to do twice the work to get the automation to run, the automation did not help me. And so you lose me there. So there's that. The joke between quite a few of us around ClickUp is ClickUp more like click a million times. It is so hard to navigate and there are so many things to click and they stuff their UI with so many icons. And I like convenience. I like that I can slash command and get something. I like that I can click on three dots, expand a menu, and I can get something else. I don't need it 40 places. That's not what I need. I mean, a couple places, great. As many places as they decided to place things, like, no, it's so busy. And then to your point, one of the things that really bothers me, and I'm going to say this about all apps, like, anytime somebody declares an app to me, like, this is the end-all, be-all, and it does everything. No, it does not. There is no app that does that. That app does not exist. And if they do it, they do it poorly, right? Like, there's no way around that. You can't be everything to everyone. If so, you can print your own money. And I feel like they kind of float in this space where, like, ooh, you have this ultimate flexibility. The con of that is it's very hard to report on your tasks. So if everybody's not working the same way and they're using different statuses and they're using, like, now we have to do, I've got to employ a whole Jake just to get the reports that I want. So I know where we're at. Like, so there are cons to those flexibilities too. And so for me, I want something that's uniform. I want less enablement, not more. Like poor Jake, like you all keep hiring. He's just going to spend all his time on a call talking about Clip, which actually, that might be his dream job, honestly. So maybe that's okay.
No, I can assure you, no.
But like, to me, like, that's such a waste of good resource. And so just the ability to kind of get into the door and really understand it, the ability to navigate it. And then I think even navigating your own space, like you'll say like, hey, we have everything here. Great. You'll show up to a space and you'll go, oh my God, what is going on? Like, even if you know ClickUp, you will have to pause and do the mental math and go like, I don't want to change this because I don't know what I'm going to kick off. Like, if I change the status, I'm actually going to change things in three other apps. And oh my God, somebody's going to be calling my phone asking why I destroyed something or changed. Like, I don't need that in my life. And so I think even if you don't have really good communication or really good documentation about how everybody set up their space, it also leaves a lot of room for misinterpretation and pain. Because you arrive in a space, you go, it looks similar to mine. I'm just going to do X. And people are like, what did you do that for? Like, you literally destroyed that dock, closed that thing, contacted the client and told him that was like, why, like, why would you do that? That's not, it wasn't what I thought I was doing. I just wanted to say that I was given an update and I'm done with this part now. No, actually, you're in review. We're reviewing this to make sure it's okay to send to the client. You know, so there's a lot of gotchas that come with ClickUp. And I think given the right company, given the right size of that company, given the right talent to help run that piece of software, yes, you know, ClickUp might be for you. I'm with you, Jake. I hate Monday. We bought a tool once, and they had us project managed in Monday, and I could not keep from cracking jokes about how terrible it was. Like, it was awful. It was just not a great experience.
But so, okay, that in mind, what, other than Coda, what's your project management tool of choice?
Well, you all will roast me, but my general philosophy is less is more and don't over-engineer. Like, I hate that, right? Like, so for me, it's like simplicity is key. I really like Asana. I think it's pretty powerful.
Okay.
I've used it to great effect in a lot of different ways. And I think it's easy to use. And for the most part, when you onboard people with something like Asana, they're like, oh, this is pretty straightforward. Like, they pick it up quick. Their mobile apps are great. ClickUp mobile apps are not great.
Oh, my which God. ClickUp's mobile app is the most garbage thing I've ever seen.
It's a whole other thing. So, like, when you're trying to update ClickUp and you're mobile, you're like, cripes, I've got to get my laptop or I've got to find a computer so I can go do this work. Whereas, like, Asana, it's like, great, pop open the app, boom, 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 done. And Asana has a great API. You can do lots, like, you can trigger all kinds of things with it. I really, that's, if I'm picking an app, that's the one I'm picking.
Have they fixed where you had to commit basically to a list view or a Kanban view? Or, like, that was a thing that was a deal breaker for me when, you know, back when I was using it was, you know, there was no flexibility there.
They've well, progressed the time quite, started, quite a ways,
Yeah.
When I was starting in 80/20, it was like the pricing in order to get actual features. Like, I think you had to have a minimum of like 10 seats to get the good features. It's like, well, we were like two or three employees. So, like, I don't want to pay for 10 people already. And so I was just like, all right, this isn't going to work. And to this day, I saw a tweet recently. Someone was like, hey, I have to buy 5 seats for this just to access this feature. Why is it? And I saw someone in the comments recommend ClickUp as a solution. But
so can I say two things to that real quick?
Sure.
So I would say as a rebuttal, two things there. One, never hurts to negotiate if you're an agency. You might be able to change that whole piece. Never hurts to ask. Not saying it's always going to work. But
sure.
But the other part of that is, you've hired an entire person. That's not all that Jake does is play around. He's not a ClickUp cowboy. But, like, you've got, like, this person who their job is to drive this now. Like, you've, like, all around one app. Like,
now.
You're all in. So, like, is that price really?
At the time, it was just me and
Really that bad?
At the time, it was just me and Veronica. And we were both just using Notion.
Scared money don't make money. You know what I mean? You got to be able to put a little down. Man.
I don't want to pay for 10 seats at once. It was just a stupid use of money.
That's fair. That's a fair criticism.
So I will say, though, you were totally right on the ClickUp mobile app. I forgot to tell Jake this, and I was going to ask him for help with it this week. But I deleted the ClickUp app over the weekend once, and then I reinstalled it. And now it literally will not let me sign back in with my credentials, even though they work on the computer. So it's something... That's the ClickUp app. And that's the ClickUp app that exists is the V2. Like, they just overhauled it. So, like, I hope a new one's coming.
Yeah, the other one, the previous one was so bad that they decided to, you know, release one that didn't have feature parity. And it's very noticeable. Because we, like, for run thing, we use a lot of related tasks. And you can't... You know, you can't see any of your relations. So, like, we've set up our whole, like, CRM. And so if you want to see clients that are related to a project, you can't do it. You have to do it through the desktop version. So it's annoying.
And, you know, all this to say, like, this next part I'm going to say is going to sound really bad. And I don't mean it this way. And this is, like, sincere, bottom of my heart. I'm not taking shots at anybody. But
oh man,
the other part that really scares me about ClickUp is how fast. Like, one of the things you all said is they ship features so fast. Cool. I often find they ship and they're not ready for me. And so that's part one. Part two is I sometimes worry, like, things like, are they working over the weekend? Are they working nights? Like, I legitimately, and I'm not saying ClickUp is, like, terrible to the people. It's probably a great place to work. I don't know. I consider myself ignorant, so I'm not trying to say bad things. I do worry about companies who ship like that, though. Like, and when I make choices as a consumer, I think, like, is that the sort of environment? Like, you think to, like, video game companies as they prep for, like, launch.
Sure.
These people sure. being stretched and pushed. When I see companies that ship so often, it makes me pause and go, like, because they're a smaller team and they're shipping all this stuff. I'm like,
they're not a smaller
team. Is anybody sleeping?
No, they're not a smaller team.
What about Glide?
Ooh,
I've often thought the same thing about Glide.
Oh, Lacey with the gotcha right there.
No gotcha. I 100% think the same thing. Yeah.
No, but ClickUp is not a small team. Yeah. It's not like a group of 20. They're worth $1 billion as of, like, December. They raised 100 mil, and they're hiring super aggressively. So it's not like they're these, like, kids working overtime and not getting paid. It's, like, a ton of people. I don't know the exact employee count. I don't know if they publicize it, but it's not like a small startup. They raised Series B. So, and it was just 5 months after their Series A or something like that, or 6 months. So I feel like they're raising money rapidly and they're hiring.
They're hiring like crazy. Yeah.
Yeah. So,
well, for example, like their support team, like, has been completely changed. Because they hired so much, you know, now you can actually have, like, a real time conversation with support, which has been, you know, super helpful. So that's going a long way from where it used to take forever to get a response.
So those are things that concern me and the reasons I'll never use it. Like, all this conversation was good. You'll never convince me to use ClickUp. Anytime somebody sends me, like, hey, we're working in ClickUp, I literally get immediately depressed and I wish that there was something else I could be doing, because my experiences with it have been so bad that that's the feeling and emotion it evokes from me. Because every time I touch it, it feels like something goes horribly wrong. And so, but especially the data loss piece, like, those were big things for me. So, like, I just don't enjoy using the product. I find it tedious.
You have real PTSD from that.
I do.
Like, yeah, we need to start the therapy session right now.
That's right. So
how does that make you feel, Ben?
Like, I, no hate. Like, you all use it, and I've said this on the podcast a million times. For as much as I, like, have my favorite apps and I have my least favorite apps, I could care less. If it gets the job done for you, it gets the job done for you. So who cares how you built it? And so for me, like, I'll be honest. I've seen Jake share screenshots of ClickUp setups and Integra Map flows, and I'm like, Jake should teach a master class, because that's legit next level. Like, I don't care who you are, you're not gonna match that. I just don't care. So, like, if it's doing it for you, then, like, I don't know, like, no hate, just please never invite me to one of your ClickUp boards, right? Like, that's my ask. Or please just expose me as little as possible. I just don't want to have to deal with it. That's you know, it does come down to personal preference, but I can just tell you my experiences have not been the best. And especially even, like, with dashboards, that's one tool that you mentioned. Like, originally when dashboards were released, you literally had to add every person you wanted to see the dash. You couldn't share it with a group of people. Like, there was no, like, you, somebody's like, oh, I can't see it. You're like, let me go type in the 90 emails so everybody can see this board. Like, that, and then too, I think the performance of the dashboards were really not the best either. So
yeah, they're not you know, they can be helpful, but they're not like what I would love to see in dashboard. They're also very hard to like rearrange widgets on it. It's such a pain. So yeah.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
I for what it's worth, Webflow and 80/20 are vastly different employee sizes. So it's easy for us to add my whole team in a minute. If you added your whole team, it would take like 5 hours. So I get that. But I don't know, for what it's worth, like the dashboard is cool for me. Like Jake built a sales dashboard so we can track, like you said, monthly sales, quarterly sales, things like that.
Here's the way I would equate ClickUp. So my main things over and over again, you're going to be talking about performance. I equated ClickUp to like having dial-up internet, right? Like I remember, I don't know if you guys remember dial-up internet, but you'd have dial-up internet and you would like put in the web address for something.
Did you just say, whoa, did you just say you think I don't remember dial-up internet?
You're really young. So
I was waiting for Lacey to chime in.
I am not that young.
So dial-up internet, you would connect whatever, you would put in a web address, and it would take so long to load that you would literally like, okay, you're like, I'm loading the page, I'm going to go like make myself some nachos and get a drink, and you come back, it's halfway done, you're like, I'm going to go start the laundry, you come back, you look at it, and you're like, okay, it's almost there, I'm going to go like go outside and like just get some fresh air, come back in, loaded. Perfect. I feel the same way when I load something in ClickUp. Like anything, I'm like, okay, well, this is a great chance for me to take a break. And like, I'm just going to walk around my house, say hi to my family, get something to drink, go step out in the sunshine, come back, still not loaded. Okay. So now I can like, I'm going to like get on my back bench that's like an inversion table. I'll hang there for a second or two. Okay. Feeling a little bit, come back. Oh, it finally loaded. Great. That's my experience with ClickUp.
That's a look, man, from a therapist's perspective, I can't invalidate your experience. It's a very valid human experience you're living. But F your perspective. And you sound like you're wrong.
No. So, you know, once again, no hate. Like, I think everybody uses
all the hate.
Dude, that's like totally saying not something really incredibly like, rude to someone and then saying, hey, no offense. Like,
I'm telling you my experience with the app, but what I'm telling you is it doesn't invalidate your experience.
With a dash of hyperbole.
When I say that, I'm not being hyperbolic. I'm saying I've tried to load dashboards or pages and literally walked around my house, chat with my family, come back, and in not loaded. And I have 450 megs of download, by the way. It is not my internet speed. So when I say that, that's not an exaggeration. That's, I'm not making jokes. That's what I'm saying. That's,
I can't believe you.
Are you sure it's not your internet speed? Because I've seen some tweets from you about
Cox Communications.
No, Cox.
Comcast.
And,
can we say
and,
that on the podcast?
But like that, and when I say that, it's no joke. So when people are like, why do you hate ClickUp? That's why I'm not a big fan, right? Like if I have to wait that long for something, I'm out. Like I'm just,
dude, that's okay, but you cannot just,
that's like as long as we wait for Matt right. to show,
I
show,
up. I show. He shows up 15 to 20 minutes later.
Okay, that one time was a miscommunication. And we will not talk about that. But you cannot. I have no problem with your human experience with ClickUp. I have a problem with you demolishing it on air and saying, hey, no hate, though.
You're misunderstanding. I'm not demolishing it. I'm like, you talked for a long time about the pros. I was talking about the cons that I've experienced. And once again, those are my experiences. I'm not saying it's a bad app. I don't wish bad things on their company. I don't wish bad things on 80/20 because you use it. None of that, right? Like, when I say no hate, like, I don't hate any of that. Once again, like I said, I've seen Jake do things with ClickUp. Jake built a check-in system for Webflow sites at his previous gig. I don't know if you all are using that at 80/20.
No, we do use it.
It is beautiful. Yeah. Like, he could resell it. It's so good. So, once again, if it works for you, like, whatever. But I'm just trying to tell you, like, why I could never adopt it as a tool myself. Even if I left Webflow and was at a smaller company, they're like, we're evaluating tools, we're thinking about ClickUp, I would literally be like, this is the hill I will die on. Let's not do that.
But do you think you can get, like, I'm genuinely curious, like, could you, if you had to choose, like, would you be able to get everything done with Coda? Like, is that your stance? Or would you have to do Coda and Asana?
So there's this interesting conversation that happens a lot. And it's one of those things, like, on our team, we are, like, robust when it comes to tooling. And one of the things that the conversation, well, eventually will Coda go away and we can't use it at Webflow. Like, as you grow, IT gets to a point where they're like, we use these four tools and these are the four tools you use, right? Like, that's where it goes eventually. And it's not a terrible thing. It's actually a pretty good thing. I've been asked a few times what would happen if we didn't use Coda anymore. And I have literally told me, and this is the truth, my productivity would go down by like 30%. It makes me so much better at my job, and it lets me go through my tasks and my day so much quicker that if I didn't have it, I would literally be upset. But, like, you know, whatever. But I choose, like, if I'm choosing to work, I have my own flow in Coda, how I run my tasks, how I have my action items, how I track everything, and it works really well for me. And I run really big projects at Webflow, and I have never had a single issue tracking it or being able to share that across company so people have visibility into what I do.
So do the other people use it? Like, you know, I mean, is it, I'm just curious to what degree your coworkers use it as well.
Cause I'm going to decline to answer that question from a security standpoint. I don't think okay. that our IT company would be really happy with me talking about specific things. And I think they'd be like, man, you just gave everybody an attack vector. Good job.
And what's your password?
Yeah. Exactly.
Hey, dude, what street did you grow up on?
No, it's a great question.
What was your mother's maiden name? My chance. Just for fun. Just because we want to be quirky around here.
Yeah.
So, but, yeah.
Well, I was just curious because I didn't know if you, like, get any leverage, like, any use out of, like, can you do commenting and things like that? Like, you know, like, because some of the cool things, like, you know, I've seen, like, you can vote and you can, you know, do little things that can be useful.
Coda just has all these great things, like, where, I won't go on that rant, but, like, people can acknowledge they've seen things, you can take votes on things, and you can do that in such a way where you're not biasing votes. You vote, but you can't see the results yet. You kind of hide that away from people and tuck it away so people can leave their sentiment or their thoughts on things and then take a full view of, like, okay, what did everybody else say? So they have all these different pieces that are pretty great. And they do have commenting, and they do have all those different pieces. I mean, I literally built an app issue tracker that talked to GitHub. And, like, it's you can do all kinds of wild things with it, right? So it's a powerful tool. And it's the one I choose to work in, but like I said, that's neither here nor there. I think people have heard that rant enough. So,
Lacey, do you? There you go.
Wait, but did you actually answer the question?
How did I not answer the question?
You said it. You said a lot, but he said, "Can you just use Coda?" As is,
I just use Coda as is
with something else. I'm like,
well, he's not like ClickUp standalone either, right? Like, it's ClickUp and Integromat and right. So I'm not saying I never do that, but I use Coda. Do my teammates use Coda? Yeah, we use Coda. Yeah.
So I'm suspicious.
Well, you've never seen me working Coda, so
I. This is true. I don't know what the inside of Webflow is like, but. I don't know, man. It's a little sus. So we'll see.
I didn't say ClickUp was sus. So you're using ClickUp and sus. What I'm telling you is you can get the same returns out of code. It depends on how you want to work, right? And it all comes down to it. And I think at the end of the day, like, I'll be honest with you. Here's a con of Coda. I can tell you I've built some very complicated, detailed tools in Coda. And I've gotten the same reaction that you might get with ClickUp, which is, oh my God, what is going on here? Am I going to break something if I do X? Like, that's true. And Coda can be intimidating for people at times when you come into really big docs that are pretty powerful and have a lot of stuff going on in them. So you know, I think it's the same. Anytime you build something intricate, people are going to have that reaction regardless of the tool. But can you do it? Absolutely, you can.
Yeah, I think the main thing that I'm getting at is, like, you know, it's difficult if you don't have the buy-in from, you know, from the team. And so, like, if, you know, yes, I could be the only one using ClickUp, but I'm not getting anywhere near the, like, the benefits from it. And so it's like, yes, like, I love the Things app on Mac and iOS, but there's no API access. And so it's like, even though it's quick and easy, and I love the UX, and, you know, it's like, if the rest of my team can't see where I'm at on something, then it loses its functionality.
That's a problem we had at 80/20. Even after the adoption of ClickUp, some people were using their own note-taking system, whether in sales or PM, or, like, there were certain instances where, like, you would jot things down on your own to-do list and no one else has visibility because that information is siloed. So that's the, like, everyone is going to have their own system at the end of the day, but ClickUp is the one that has the most flexibility.
Yeah.
I would say so. Lacey, do you have a dog in this fight?
Fun fact, though, real quick. I rebuilt things in Coda. So, just so you, like...
Oh, my God. Okay, of course. We're not all overachievers, Ben, okay? We can't just rebuild software in our free time. So, Lacey, thoughts?
Yeah, so much to unpack here.
Lacey's over here. She's not even listening. So she's just scrolling through Twitter this entire time.
I really believe it. I was
not joking.
So I'm a person that does handwritten notes, and I, like, have my own handwritten system of how I do things. I don't like productivity tools because
you are such a grandma.
My notes. I have notepads.
Oh my God. I buy them in bulk.
and I love that. Like, at Adalo, we use Trello. I probably should be logged in looking at Trello every day. I have to remind myself to do it because I've got it all in my notes and I just don't. I need to, like, physically touch it.
Lacey is literally what I was explaining 5 minutes ago. The problem we are trying to solve for 80/20. She is the definition of it.
Right. Well, it is. And it's a problem, like, when now, so, like, I am writing a bunch. And so I'm doing scripts and outlines and different things. And I write them all by hand. And then I have to go type them into a doc so that other people can see them. It's
Man, you're really old, huh?
But
I mean, sorry, old school. Slip of tongue.
Yeah, I'm like, I think I'm older than you. And that sounds miserable. Yeah. She brings out her little electric typewriter.
I don't want to crush the party.
Eating if she has dentures.
By the way, but we've been recording for an hour and 21 minutes.
Yeah, let's wrap this.
So this is probably more ClickUp talk than people really want, honestly.
But people can
leave this episode at any time. We're not holding anyone
hostage. Jake and Matt have finally exercised their ClickUp demons, I hope. And
dude, you're 100% right.
Love it.
Thank you for giving me my platform to speak and Jake's platform to speak. Rightfully so. I'm sad that I had to get a petition in order to get this episode on air. The censorship on this show is rampant right now.
You trashed Lacey by the entire episode. You're like, I'm being censored.
Welcome to this podcast. Oh, man.
What planet are you living on? This is fun. All right. Well, we're going to call that an episode. Jake, thank you so much for joining us. Lacey, I'm so sorry. You can talk the entire next episode. I feel like a jackass.
One last thing to plug right at the end here. I'm going to put it in the show notes. Jake has a YouTube channel where he talks about a lot of this stuff. He's working on talking
the whopping about three videos.
Three videos.
But hey, they're as long as this podcast. So there you go.
There you go. He talks about ClickUp and things like that over on his YouTube channel. So we will link it in the show notes.
Wonderful. Well, thanks for listening, everybody. And we'll catch you next week.
Deuce. Oh, my God.
Deuce.
I hate you. Just let me have something.
Thanks for listening to visualdev.fm. You can find us on your favorite social media platform at visualdev.fm.